Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Imagine that you're walking down the street and someone approaches you and says, "I can free you from prison. Just hear what I have to say." You would probably think the person was crazy. After all, you're walking down the street. You're just fine. You're not in prison. Can't the person see that? You don't have this problem. They're offering a solution to a problem that you don't have. The same would hold true if someone said to you, "Just listen to me and I'll free you from your addiction." Now, if you don't have an addiction, you'd think the person was nuts, that the person isn't offering you a solution that you need, because you're just fine. A similar thing happens in our gospel reading for today. The text opens with these words, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" Now, we've heard those words before, so it doesn't startle us, perhaps like it did the people who are hearing this for the first time. They heard that, and they were offended, it seems, because they said to him in response, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you can say you will become free?" See, Jesus is promising them freedom, and they think they've already got it. So why should Jesus offer to them a solution to a problem that they don't have? They think they're okay. They think they're not enslaved, that they're free because they're descendants of Abraham. They are the chosen people. They're the ones to whom God made his promises. They think their family history gives them freedom, and it's a certain kind of freedom, a spiritual freedom. They don't think there's anything that they need to be freed from. And so they seem to be scratching their heads at best, or at worst, perhaps offended by what Jesus says. Surely they don't have a problem. But Jesus goes on and points out to them that they do, in fact, need what he has to offer. That they do, in fact, have a problem. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." They are enslaved. They do sin. Jesus diagnoses the problem like a good physician. He points out to them the symptom, which is sin, and then the fact that this is a sign of a much bigger problem, a much deeper issue. The person who sins is a slave to sin. It is not that a person is basically good and just does a few bad things once in a while, and that they could just with a little work stop doing those things. The person who sins, no matter how good they may seem otherwise, is in fact a slave of sin. And that condemns not only the people at that time, but every person, because every human being sins. And we don't have to think long and hard about our own lives to know that we are sinners too. Just try to stop doing that one sin that you keep doing over and over again. We all have pet sins. We all fail to meet the Ten Commandments. By the standard of God's law, that alone, we are all slaves to sin. And the person who is enslaved to sin does not enjoy the good gifts of God forever, as is indicated by Jesus' next statement, what he says, "The slave does not remain in the house forever." And by saying that, it seems that Jesus is saying that there is an end to the time that we are under God's gracious care, if we are slaves to sin. There is a time when we will not be in the house, meaning the gracious, loving care of God. Right now, we all, believer and unbeliever alike, are under God's gracious care. We have sun and rain. We have harvest. We have food. We have clothing. We have all of these kinds of things that are good gifts of God, where God provides for us, whether we are believers or unbelievers. But Jesus tells us the slave does not remain in the house forever. There is an end to this kind of care for everyone, unbeliever and believer alike. God desires that all people be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. God wants people to turn from their sins, and his kindness, his loving care, is there so that people who are living in sin would repent. So what are we to do with this dire message? What are we to do with the situation that we all are in? Well, today is Reformation Sunday. Today we celebrate the Reformation, even though the Reformation is actually October 31st, the day before All Saints' Day, because Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the church door in Wittenberg. Well, at the time of the Reformation, there was a problem. There were people who were teaching things and supporting practices that, whether they wanted to or not, actually lowered the bar that God had set. Lowered the bar of God's law. And it makes sense in some ways to do this. After all, if no one can jump over the hurdle in track, then maybe you just need to lower the hurdle. If no one can run the whole race in cross country because it's too long, then shorten the race so somebody can make it. If the basketball hoop is set way too high, then lower it. So the church, it seemed, whether they wanted to or not, by their actions, by their teachings, the church of the time of the Reformation lowered the standard, the bar of God's law. They said that you could pay money, buy an indulgence, and the sin is taken care of. That's actually lowering the bar that God sets. God never says that money is enough to pay off our sin, because it's not enough. We can't pay God back and get out of punishment. We can't just pay our own bail to get out of prison, to get off of the death row that we sit on apart from Jesus Christ. There is nothing that we can do that can satisfy the wrath of God. Luther saw rightly that this payment won't cut it with God. Luther's Reformation doesn't actually make God's law easier to fulfill. It isn't, as some might think, just making Christianity a little easier and setting the bar lower. It's actually setting the standard back where it's supposed to be. God's law demands perfection, and the Reformation acknowledged that. We are to perfectly think and speak and act. The Lutheran Reformers understood correctly that we are, apart from Jesus, slaves to sin, who will not remain under God's care forever, but that we deserve the wrath and punishment of God. But thanks be to God, that isn't the end of the story. If it were, we would all have to despair. Jesus goes on in our text for today and says that while the slave does not remain in the house forever, the son remains forever. The son of the family has a birthright to the things of the family. He is born into it, and he is the one who deserves the inheritance. He is free. He can do whatever he wants with the inheritance. And Jesus is the son who has done all things well, who deserves all good things from God, who deserves to stay in God's house under his care, in the Father's house, forever, in perfect communion with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He alone has perfectly obeyed the law of God. He alone is good. He alone has never been enslaved to sin. He is the free, holy, and righteous Son of God. And what can he do? What can he do for us about our enslavement, about the fact that we don't deserve the favor and love of our Heavenly Father forever? Well, Jesus says next, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." He has the power to free us. He has the power to free you and me from our sins and from our addictions, from our prisons of guilt and despair and pride and anger and self-righteousness. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. He has the power to free us, and he has freed us. By his perfect life in this world and by his suffering for us in our place on the cross. After all, he says, "If you abide in my words, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." It's not just that it could set you free, maybe if you do enough good things, but the truth will set you free. And the truth is Jesus Christ himself and what he has done for you on the cross. And he comes to sinners who see their sin, who understand and know their sin, where the law has worked. And there are times in our lives when we think we're pretty good and we're doing well and we can easily rely on our own works. And that's when we need to hear the message of the law, that we don't meet the standard on our own. But then there are other times in our lives when we are burdened by sin, when we know our sins and our failures, when we can look back on them and reflect on them, and we can't get them out of our minds. Nothing we do can erase it. And in those times, the law has done its work. God, through the law, has pointed out to us that we are sinners. We see how damaging and how terrible sin is. And in those times, we need, just as everyone needs, the final answer of God. We need the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus has paid for all of those sins, that the sin that we are burdened with, that we struggle with, is there hanging on Jesus on the cross. That's why he's there, to carry that sin, as well as every other sin we've committed, to pay for it, so that we might be free. This is the truth that sets us free from the bonds of sin and death, sets us free from slavery to sin, and says, you are free from that, and you are a son. You belong in the house. You belong under God's gracious care, not just for now, but forever. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. As we once again celebrate the Reformation, we rejoice in this truth, that we poor sinners who could not free ourselves have been set free by Jesus Christ. Now may the peace of God, that passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.